some fraudulent checks were cashed in using our church checkbook. I don't know how people got it. So, man, it just reminds me how much we need the Lord. How much we need the Lord. Anybody need the Lord? Anybody need the Lord? Amen. Amen. So, with that in mind, you know, New Year's Eve, I don't have any PowerPoint, but I was going to show you the slide with exploding fireworks. Because I didn't see it. You know, I went to sleep early. But I did remember that New Year's Eve usually brings up New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions. I read some kind of strange New Year's resolutions just recently. One man said, "My New Year's resolution is to quit smoking, quit drinking, and quit all the vices." But then I remembered that nobody likes a quitter. That was supposed to be funny. Okay. There's a couple more. Another man wrote, "My New Year's resolution is to get skinnier than my friends. So I'm trying to feed them as much as I can."
And I remember the last one.
Oh, yes, okay. "My New Year's resolution," one man said, "is to read more. Read more. So I turned on the subtitles on my TV." You want to hear my New Year's resolution, guys? My New Year's resolution. My New Year's resolution is to not make big mistakes in 2020. Not make big mistakes in 2020. Not mistakes, because everybody makes mistakes. If you're human, you're going to make mistakes. But my resolution is to not make big mistakes. You know, mistakes that are real hard to undo. Mistakes that may take years of your life just trying to get back to normal again. Big mistakes that may even ruin your family, your finances, even take your life. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Anybody? So if you could avoid making big mistakes this whole year, if you could, how many of you would like to make big mistakes? Yeah, you know, not make any big mistakes. Yeah. Then you've come to the right place, because today, I believe God has a word just for you. Would you pray with me? And would you say these words after me? Would you say, "Dear God, I am ready to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, open it to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read more of that story of this interchange between this group called the Sadducees and a man named Jesus. Open your Bibles if you have one, and we don't have any PowerPoint, so I'm going to need my glasses, and my Bible is kind of small print. Mark chapter 12, and we'll be reading from verse 18. Let me read for you from the New International Version. "Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. 'Teacher,' they said, 'Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother.' Now, there were 7 brothers, the Sadducees say. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died leaving no child. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the 7 left any children. Last of all, the woman died also. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the 7 were married to her?" Jesus replied, Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? And going on. When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And Jesus finished with these words. You are badly mistaken. I want you to take a pen and pencil, and if you have a Bible that you can write in, then write in that one. But if you don't, just use your program. You know, there's a title there. The title is in here. Second page, God's Words for Today. To put big mistakes away, read the Bible and pray. So, underline two phrases in that for me. Underline, read the Bible, and underline, pray. Underline, read the Bible. You can just use this program. And underline, pray. So some background to this story. In the early first century AD, the Sadducees were a religious power. And they fought with the other religious, they were a political power, And they would fight with the other political power, the Pharisees, for who was going to control the Jewish people. Kind of like Trump and Pelosi always kind of like banning heads. The Sadducees were one of those groups that they wanted to rule Israel. So the Sadducees were a political power. They were also a religious group. And third, the Sadducees were rich. Yeah. The Sadducees were religious. They would read their Bibles religiously. But, at that time, it was only the Old Testament that they had, and they really loved the books of Moses. That's the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But somehow, the Sadducees had this way of reading the Bible that was very closed-minded. They were closed to anything in the Bible that was miraculous. They were closed to anything that was supernatural. And they were closed to anything like the resurrection, where God would take dead people and bring them back to life. Nonsense to the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were also rich. In fact, one Bible commentator mentions that the Sadducees' main belief was money. Money. One more thing. The Sadducees also hated Jesus. They hated Jesus because Jesus was a threat to their political power, a threat to their religion, and a threat to their wealth. So the Sadducees, a group of them, approached Jesus with a question. Actually, it's a crazy, mixed-up question. A question that they don't even believe themselves. They're talking about the resurrection. They don't believe that. But the question really doesn't matter because the question is not meant to enlighten. The question that the Sadducees say is meant to shame Jesus. And they think that if they can shame Jesus, they can cut Jesus down to size. And maybe this threat to their power, this threat to their religion, and this threat to their temple can be ended. So, the Sadducees say to Jesus, hey Jesus, this man, he married this woman. And he had no children. Then he dies. Now, Moses in the Bible, Jesus, you read the Bible, right? Moses in the Bible told us that the man's brother has to marry the widow, have children, and continue his dead brother's name. So, the second brother does that. He marries the widow, but he also has no children, and he dies. So, the third brother marries the same widow, dies without any children. This guy has a lot of brothers. The fourth brother, the fifth brother, the sixth brother, and the seventh brother, all one by one, marry the same woman, have no children, and they die. Last, the Sadducees say, the woman also dies. Then they come to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, Matthew. In the resurrection, Jesus, the resurrection, but by the way, only fools would believe in. In the resurrection, Jesus, whose wife will she be? You know, they're kind of smirking. Jesus, since you're so smart, tell us whose wife she's going to be in the resurrection. But Jesus is smart. And Jesus grabs their crazy mixed up question and uses it to tell us a truth. And the truth is this. Jesus says, you are in error. You are badly mistaken if you don't know two things. You're going to make a lot of big boo-boos. You're going to fall into massive holes in your life unless you know two things. You got to know the scriptures and you got to know the power of God. The scriptures and the power of God. If not, you're going to be constantly digging yourself out of holes. I ask you, as Jesus asked the Pharisees, the Sadducees, do you know the scriptures or the power of God? Hey, Pastor, what is the scriptures? Well, like we said earlier, during the time of the Sadducees, the scriptures were only the Old Testament, you know, the first half or so of what we now know as the Bible. Today we have the whole Bible. But the scriptures mean the Bible. So, Pastor, okay, the scriptures are the Bible. How do I know the scriptures? How do I know the Bible? In America, the answer is very simple. Read it. Read it. You know, some countries, just getting a copy of the Bible is very difficult. You'll be blessed if you can hear it being read to thousands of people because nobody has a copy. But I just read these statistics on Bibles in America. You know, it's not even the latest statistics. According to one researcher, about 168,000 Bibles, did you get this? 168,000 Bibles are given away in America every day. 168,000 Bibles are given away in America as gifts or, you know, presents every day. And get this, guys. The average Christian in America has 9 Bibles. This is according to 2015 statistics. But this is the problem, guys, with Bibles in America. Most Bibles in America are something like this. Hey, what's this book on my bookshelf? What's this? Oh, what's this book? Bible? See, we have Bibles in our homes, but they're never opened. They're never read. And that's why we don't know it. To know the scriptures, to know the Bible, read it. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. That's why I have the underline those words in the title. Read the Bible. Hey, Pastor, what about the other part? To not make big mistakes, you have to know what? The scriptures and the power of God. Power of God, what's that? Well, the power of God can be anything that God does. I mean, God, But specifically in the Bible, the power of God refers to the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, if you have a Bible, you can turn to that or just put your finger there. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." In the Bible, specifically, the power of God refers to the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is one person of what we call the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. But these three persons work so well together. They think so alike. They do things without hurting each other, without hindering each other's work. I wish our church could be like that. Yeah. They just are so united that they make up one God. And one person in that one God is the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, okay, the power of God is the Holy Spirit. How do I get to know this Holy Spirit, this power of God? The best way I know is to pray. The best way I know is to pray. King David, you know, I'm not sure if my mom knew about King David or even read the Bible at all when she named me. But I'm so glad she did. Because King David did something very often and very well. He would often pray to God and receive God's powerful answers and guidance. God, the Philistines are attacking me. Should I attack them? How should I attack them? Yeah. Okay, go around them. Don't attack them directly. Go around them from behind. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then you get them. Okay, God. Okay. Then he did that. Became king. He did that over and over again because King David knew to know God's Spirit, to know God's power, you got to pray to Him. You got to talk to Him. Listen to His answers. Press in to God's heart. How do you do that? To pray. We live in a world where we are constantly being interrupted by beep, ring, 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 text messages, and cell phones, and email alerts. We can hardly get a night's sleep without that thing going rang. And so I tell my wife, put that phone in the next room. Turn it off. Because I can't sleep with that stuff. How many of you sleep with your cell phone like right next to you? Anybody do that? Don't do it. Throw it out the window. Okay. I remember when we were in Japan. I was, I've been a Christian worker for about 20 years now, and cell phones were kind of new. So I was like a new missionary in Japan, and then the other pastor said, "Hey, we got to get cell phones so we can call each other." And I said, I don't want you calling me when I'm walking down the street enjoying Tokyo. I don't want you. I don't want to be bothered by you guys. They forced me to get a cell phone. I never had a good night's sleep after that. But, we live in this world where we're constantly being interrupted. We have schedules that are overbooked. We have things reminding us all the time with their beeps that we need to do the next thing. And so you gotta make time to hear from the Lord. You do that by praying. If not, you know, we will be immersed in this worldly culture and we will become like it. But when you take time to pray, you remember the goodness of God. When you take time to pray, you remember that, you know, that last email is not that important. You remember that all things are possible with the Lord. You remember that God is good all the time. You do that by praying. My prayer, as you can call that, is that each one of us this year will commit to two things: reading God's Word daily and praying daily. Reading the Word, the Bible, and praying. You know, some people say to me now, "Pastor, your ideas sound good on paper, but you know, reading the Bible, it's going to take me. I'm a slow reader. I'm from Hawaii, man. I think it'll take at least 30 minutes, maybe an hour, just reading the Bible and praying. Praying. I don't know how long that's going to take. Pastor, I don't have time to read the Bible or pray." You don't have time not to, because the hour or so you spend reading the Bible and praying will save you days, months, maybe years of your life in mistakes that you never made. I know. I've made big ones. Big whoppers of mistakes. Mistakes that, frankly, I'm still trying to crawl out of today. Some mistakes that ruin my health, ruin my wealth, even threaten to take my life. And if you want to avoid those kind of big mistakes, Jesus is saying, you got to do two things. You got to know the Scriptures. How do you know that? Read the Bible. And you got to know the power of God. How do you know that? Pray. That's how you know the power of God. That's how you know what the Holy Spirit's saying. You know, Pastor, okay, I'm going to try to do this stuff. I got to like make time in my schedule. Say no to some of the things in your schedule this year. You know, like YouTube videos. You can say no to some of that. I don't know. What else is it? Time wasting? Staying in line waiting for gas at Costco. All that time you could just be reading your Bible, praying. Say no to some things this year so you have time to read the Bible and pray. Okay, I'm going to try, Pastor. I'm going to try really hard. But how do I read the Bible? How do I read the Bible? We have some helps. As you came in the door this morning, you got a bookmark, and please don't toss it. If you don't want to use it, give it to someone else and put it back in the lobby, because this is gold. This is gold, because this has every day of the year. It tells you, just read a little bit of the Bible. Just a little bit. And then, on the bottom, ask three questions. Ask three questions. And God will speak to you. God will speak to you. It's called the Bible in Four Seasons bookmark. That means if you read a little bit of the Bible every day, you'll get through the whole Bible in 4 seasons of 4 years. Pretty simple. It's actually the slowest Bible reading program I know in the world, because it was designed by this guy from Hawaii. Slow readers. It's like nobody reads that slow. I do. So you get this. And Pastor, okay, I might need some practice doing this stuff. I have another help for you. It's called the Bible in 4 Seasons Sunday School Class. meet at 11 o'clock. And you will practice doing exactly this so that you can do it on your own. You can teach others how to read the Bible and read it well. One last help for you. You can join our new home group called Life App. And Life App just goes through the Bible reading from the previous Sunday and tries to apply what God said to our daily lives. Life App. So see Lauren for if you want to know more information about Life App, or if you want to know more information about Bible in Four Seasons, see Anthony So or Margaret or Winnie. I'd love to have you practice reading the Bible. A few other people might have a last question. It's Pastor, okay, I can go to the Bible in Four Seasons Sunday school class, get practice in reading the Bible. But praying, how do you do that? How do you do that? We have another help for you. We have a Wednesday evening prayer group, and we have a new start this year. We're going to start anew in the new year, start at 7 o'clock, and we can pray together in the Spirit. Get to know God. Get to know His Spirit. What is He saying to us as a family, as a church, for our career, for our finances? Come and try to press into God's heart, hear from Him, and you will avoid life's big mistakes. We also have a prayer initiative that I'm starting today, and I call it 7 at 7. Now remember, please come if you can Wednesday night, starts at 7 o'clock to our prayer group. I'm not sure where we're going to meet yet. We might move. We'll move our location. But we're going to meet somewhere on this church campus. Probably. But regardless of where you're at, Wednesday night at 7 p.m., I want you to commit to 7 at 7, okay? Even if you're at a campus or you're somewhere else. 7 at 7. For 7 minutes every Wednesday at 7 p.m., would you just stop what you're doing and pray? Turn off the TV and pray. 7 minutes. 7 at 7. 7 minutes to just turn off the cell phone. Stop listening to any voices on TV or radio. And just listen to the Spirit of God. Praise God for His goodness to you. For keeping you alive this day. For giving you a place to sleep, food to eat. Thank Him. As the Holy Spirit leads you, repent of any sins that are brought to your mind and receive His forgiveness. You can also, in prayer, you know, just at 7 minutes, you might not have time, but if you get there, ask God for help. Ask God for what you need. Ask God for guidance. And then listen for how He answers. Finally, in prayer, yield to whatever He says. Yield to His Spirit moving in your life. Yield to the blessings He wants to pour out into you and through you. Yield as He tells you what to do, who to talk to, who to meet. 7 at 7. Would you commit to that? Wherever you're at. Of course, if you're on the 210, keep your eyes open when you're praying, you know. But even when you're driving, you can cast all your cares on God. Just remember His goodness, His love for you. 7 at 7. You know, sometimes I wonder what this church would look like if everybody in this room would just read the Bible and pray. How many lives would be changed if we just read the Bible and pray? How many emotional wounds in our lives would be healed if we read the Bible and pray? How many parents would become better at parenting if we read the Bible and pray? How many children will grow up healthy, strong, and fully mature and able to leave their parents' house by the age of 50? Just kidding. But if we just read the Bible and pray, I wonder what would happen. Church, let's wonder no more. And let's put that wonder back into our lives. Let's read the Bible and pray. Because Jesus taught us these simple words today. To put big mistakes away, read the Bible and pray. Would you repeat with me? To put big mistakes away. You want to put them as far away as the east is from the west. To put big mistakes away. What do you do? Read the Bible and pray. Say it with all your hearts, guys. To put big mistakes away. Read the Bible and pray. Let's pray together. Father, we talked last week about how to let go of hurts in the past. Today we're talking about how not to let this year hurt us in the future. Lord, we pray that this year might be a blessed year and our lives might be in your blessing and your care. But you have put two simple but maybe difficult assignments in our path. That if we can just do two simple things, we will avoid life's big mistakes. And some of us are struggling with that right now. I don't know if I can make time for this. I don't know if I'll take that step. So I pray, Lord, for that person that's struggling right now, that you will fill them with your power. Fill them with your spirit. Change their attitude about reading the Bible. Change their heart about prayer. To make reading the Bible and prayer the love of their life. Because reading the Bible and prayer may actually save the rest of your life. Lord, may you do that through me and my brothers and sisters here. We receive that by faith. And we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen.
All right. So, for our response song, as we